This morning we want to look at James chapter 4. We want to see what James has to say about how to face your future. So please take out the sermon notes that have been prepared for you today. Americans have always been a forward-looking people. Americans actually are obsessed with the future. We want to know what's going to happen next. What will happen next week, next month? What will happen next year? We are preoccupied with the future. It's amazing how people will try hundreds of things to try to forecast their future. Tea leaves, fortune cookies, astrology, palm reading. We try many different ways to get a grasp on the future. We read books like Megatrends. We attend seminars. We get newsletters on the stock market, the economy, predictions. But what is the Christian viewpoint towards the future? How am I to relate towards what happens? What should be my reaction to all that? But James, in this passage, James 4, verses 13 to 17, he tells us how to face the future. He says there are three mistakes that are commonly made that we need to be aware of. So James gives us a warning. Beware of three common mistakes. Number one in your notes. The first mistake is planning without God. Yeah, planning without God. Look at James 4, verse 13, where he illustrates this mistake by a conversation between a couple of businessmen over there in Israel. One guy had his MBA at the University of Jerusalem. The other guy is a CEO on a Tel Aviv 500 company. And they're talking in the boardroom. They're discussing their plans. Look at verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, we make money. Now what is wrong with that? You say, that sounds pretty good, like good planning. These guys are looking at the when, that's today or tomorrow, the where, we're going to this or that city, how long, they're going to spend a year there, and what, they're going to carry on their business, and why, to make money. That sounds fairly legitimate. They are a couple of go-getters. The Bible does talk a lot about planning. So what's wrong here? The first common mistake that we make when we are planning, that we plan without God. There's not a single mention here of God in this entire business plan. Nothing. He forgot to check it out with God first. So here's the problem. The problem is the attitude in your notes of self-sufficiency. Yeah, the attitude of self-sufficiency. Oh, it's great to plan. There's nothing wrong with planning. It's what he forgot to do. He left God out of it. So that's the problem of our 21st century. One author stated that the major problem of this century, of our century we live in your notes, men are forgetting about God. Men have forgotten about God. That is also the principal trait of that first century, James says. Men there forgot about God. That's what James is talking about. People can even be believers and forget God in their daily life. People love the Lord with all their heart, but when it comes to planning their business or setting their goals for their careers, choosing a college or university, they leave God out of it. So really, they're practical atheists. Simply planning without God is practical atheism. What's the solution? And you know, it's really quite simple. You include God in your notes in the goal setting. Include God in your goal setting. That's the solution to this first mistake of planning without God. Look at James 4, verse 15. He says, instead, what? You ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Circle that word, if. You must realize that the best laid plans of mice and men, they fall apart. There's that thing that we call Murphy's Law. If things go wrong, they will. Life is really one big if. Look at the spelling of the word life. In your notes, life is one big if, I-F, in the middle of life, L-I-F-E. So life is really pretty iffy. The plan without God is simply presumptuous. The whole attitude of our life should be that it's according to God's will. Christians for hundreds of years used to write their letters with the D-V at the end of their letters. They would sign their name and they would add D-V. D-V is the abbreviation for that Latin phrase, Deo Volente. It means God willing. That should be also our response to life, God willing. Now, there are three responses to God's will, and we noted, number one in your notes. I can make a reference to God's will, sure. I simply admit that God does have a will, so you make reference to it. Or number two, I can show deference to God's will. Deference to God's will means I submit. I submit to God's will. I just accept God's will in my life. Or number three, God really wants us to show preference. Preference to His will in our lives. More than anything else, God wants us to show preference and deeply desire His will. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 1. We make our plans, but God has the last word. See, man proposes, but God disposes. And we should stop praying. Stop praying that God bless what I'm doing. God, here are my plans. I've worked them all out. God, now bless them. Don't pray that way. Instead, pray, God, help me to do what you are blessing. God, I want your plans in my life, not my plans. So planning without God, that's the first mistake. And you overcome it by including God in your goal setting. In your notes, the second mistake that James is warning us about, number two, presuming about tomorrow. Yeah, presuming about tomorrow, taking it for granted, thinking that I will live forever, have the rest of my life. Look at James 4, verse 14 and 16. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are just a mist, James says, that appears for a little while and then vanishes. As it is, you boast and you brag, and all such boasting is evil. James is telling us a couple of reasons why we are not to boast. We shouldn't presume about our future. On the back of your notes, number one, life is unpredictable. Yeah, life is so unpredictable. Circle that phrase in that verse, you don't even know. That's really true, isn't it? None of us really knows what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow, next month, next week, next year. Life is so unpredictable. A war could start. Economy could reverse. Your friends could leave you. You can get sick. See, none of us knows what's going to happen in life. Life is so unpredictable. Don't become worried about that, though. Let that cause you just to rely more and more on God. Number two in your notes. James also says that life is brief. And life is brief. James says you are mist. Circle that word mist in that verse. A mist that vanishes. The word in the Greek is hatmos. James says in your notes it's like fog. A fog that disappears. A mist disappears. Now you see it, now you don't. The Bible describes life like a leaf, grass, a shadow, a cloud, a puff of smoke, a vapor. See, God is saying that you're just one heartbeat away from all eternity. And you don't know how long you're going to live. Life is so short. It's brief. From Hot Wheels to a wheelchair. Diapers to dignity to decay. Life is brief. So don't presume on tomorrow. And don't plan without God. In your sermon notes, you've probably never seen this verse before. From Isaiah chapter 56, verse 12. We read, come. Each one cries, let us drink our fill of beer. Tomorrow will be like today and even better. Sort of like it must be Miller time. You know anybody that has that kind of attitude? Life is great. Let's party. I'm going to live forever. Let's get drunk. Bring on the wine. In Jerusalem, this type of guy had a bumper sticker on his camel that said it's party time in Jerusalem. Go come. Live it up. James is saying that that really is a very dumb attitude in life. Life is so unpredictable. Life is brief. But what is the solution? In your notes, Live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 34. He says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. So live one day at a time. That's the solution. That's how you face the future. Live one day at a time. God sets the plan for the future, but you must live one day at a time. You must trust. Trust in God. Remember that old statement that says, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. I know who holds the future, and I know God. And I put my trust in God. So men, don't make the mistake planning without God. Don't make the mistake of presuming about tomorrow. Instead, include God in your goal setting and make the most of today by living one day at a time. The third common mistake to avoid in your notes, number three, putting off doing good. So number one, first mistake, planning without God. Number two, the second mistake is presuming about tomorrow. The third trap people make, looking into their future, putting off doing good. And look at what James says, chapter 4, verse 17. Is anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it? What? Sins. What is James talking about here? He's talking about the third common mistake, putting off doing good. Oh, I can do that tomorrow. He's talking about the issue of procrastination. That's our favorite word, isn't it? I know I should do it someday. I'm intending to do that. Ever met someone who's always aiming? I'm aiming to do that. I'm aiming to go on a diet. I'm aiming at getting my act together. I'm aiming to get more involved in church. I'm aiming. I just want to say, pull the trigger. Stop aiming. Stop putting it off. Like the poem, procrastination is my sin. It only causes sorrow. I know I ought to change my ways. In fact, I will tomorrow. James says that's a trap. So how do you really define sin? Often we think of all the evil things, bad, nasty things that people do. And that's sin. But the Bible says there are two kinds of sin. In your notes, number one, there are sins of commission. And those are sins and things that you commit, sins that you do. But there are also sins in your notes, number two, of sins of omission. Yeah, sins of omission. To him who knows to do good and doesn't do that, that is sin. You see, I could be doing nothing and still sin. Because there are things that I ought to be doing. You can be part of a very legalistic church that says I don't drink, smoke, cuss, or chew, or run around with girls that do. Christianity is more than just avoiding evil. If Christianity was only a bunch of don'ts, don't do this and don't do that, then everybody who is dead would be qualified as a Christian. Dead people don't do anything wrong. Putting off doing good is a mistake when we face our future. One of these days, I'm going to visit that dentist. One of these days, I'm going to spend more time with my kids. One of these days, I'm going to get some marriage counseling. One of these days, I'm going to start tithing toward my church. One of these days, I'm going to break a bad habit. Why do we say that? We are putting off doing good, and we're presuming on tomorrow. What is the solution? And you know it's the solution is do it now. Yeah, you do it now. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 27 and 28. Solomon says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to act. And do not say to your neighbor, come back later. I'll give it to you tomorrow when you now have it with you. See, God is saying there that when someone comes to you for a favor, don't say later. Don't procrastinate. That's one of the three big mistakes that we make. When we're planning about the future, planning without God, presuming on tomorrow, putting off doing good. Don't put off what you can do today. Now, there are three things that you can do with your life. In your notes, number one, you can spend it. Lots of things that you can spend your time, your money on. Just watching TV. You can spend your life acquiring a great deal of material blessings. Number two, you can waste your life. A lot of the ways to waste your life are there. But number three, you can invest it, the Bible says. The best use of life is to invest your life into something that's going to last. It's going to outlast you. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose. So what is going to last? There are only two things that are going to last. The Bible says, and you notice number one, it's God's word. Yeah, God's word is going to last. And number two is God's people. People are going to last for eternity in one of two places. What I do now may well determine where they spend their eternity. The word of God will help people to see their purpose and God's plan for their lives. The word of God will bring people to an awareness of their sin, the consequences of rebellion. That's called the law. That word of God also brings us a message of God's grace, God's forgiveness in Jesus. That's the gospel. Our mission statement says that we are to teach the God's word because God's word is God's answer to all of life's questions. We can invest in the word of God. We can share the word of God with people. That's facing that future that's going to last forever. So whatever you intend to do with the Lord, do for his church, do it now. What are your plans? James says you do three things for the future. Number one, don't plan without God. Talk with God about your plan. Number two, don't presume on tomorrow. Live one day at a time. And number three, whatever you know to do, you should be doing, do it now. Don't wait. So what abilities you have, whatever gifts you have to share with others, visit people, help teach a class, visit the sick, volunteer, do it. Do it now. Amen.